Let's stand and reverence the Word of God if you're able tonight. John chapter number 1. John chapter number 1. And I just want to read a few verses. Let's start in verse 35. Again the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. And Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? And they said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, Come and see. And they came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is, being interpreted, the Christ. And here's my text tonight, verse 42. And he brought him to Jesus. He brought him to Jesus. Did y'all see that? He brought him to Jesus. There was a human instrument involved. Now listen, nobody's going to get saved. Listen, the Lord does the work. But we need to understand that God uses human instruments, amen, to bring people to Jesus. He brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which by interpretation, a stone, which is by interpretation, a stone. You can be seated. Pray with us a moment. Father, thank you tonight for the word of the living God. I pray tonight, Father, that you would just help us tonight to be a help to our precious people. God, I know tonight, Lord, that you're able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or even think. Lord, forgive us for our faithlessness. At times, God, we just find it so hard to believe you. We pray, and yet, Lord, sometimes we struggle to believe you. God, I pray tonight that you'd help us in that area. Father, thank you for what you're doing in our midst. Thank you for the new families. Thank you, God, for those that have been born again recently. Lord, there's several that's going to be baptized soon. God, I pray that you'll just continue to work as only you can. In Jesus' name, and amen, and amen. I looked this up a minute ago. It was an illustration that I read years ago, and it's on witnessing. And it says in Washington, a graffiti from the 1800s discovered by workers renovating the Washington Monument has quite a different tone from that's usually found today on the sides of buildings and subway cars. Here's what it said. It said, whoever is the human instrument under God in the conversion of one soul erects a monument to his own memory more lofty and enduring than this. That's how the inscription reads, that can now be viewed by visitors to the monument. It is signed BFB. No one knows who that is or who left the small drawing and the 19th century dates on other walls. The markings in the lobby of the monument were covered over when it was decorated at the turn of the century. They were found when workers removed the marble wainscoting as part of a year-long $500,000 renovation, which was just completed. I believe that what the man wrote on the wall there in the Washington Monument carries weight, amen. I believe that we put a lot of emphasis on monuments that are being built, Brother Connor, number one, that are temporary. There's a lot of monuments that are temporary. But that monument of having a part in one soul, the conversion of one soul, is not temporary. That's eternal. Amen. And I want to ask us tonight Just let me look at this text for just a few minutes, and I think you'll see what God has in her heart tonight. He brought him to Jesus. Why would a man do that? Why would a man bring someone to Jesus? I've just got five simple things tonight, and they're all right here in the text. Well, we know that this was Andrew, right? Andrew, it's here in the text. Let's see here. One of the two was Andrew. I don't know who the other disciple was, and I can't really figure it out. Do you know, Brother Chris? But anyway, I couldn't figure that out. But we know this is Andrew. He's one of the two disciples. And I'll give you some things here, and they're all right here in these few little verses that I believe will help us tonight. How many would like to be the human instrument and point somebody else to the Son of God? Amen. Now listen, I want to say this in the onset of the message. Indirectly, I said indirectly, when we support missions like we do here at Bible Wave, 35 to 40% of our income, when I say 35 to 40, because it's 35 of the general offering, the tithes, and then the Wednesday night offering goes in on top of that. And it might at times be more than 40%. But that goes to mission. So indirectly, every one of us that participate in the church, that put in our tithes and our offerings, every time there's a soul saved overseas, you understand what I'm talking about? Every time there's a soul saved in the prison, we just last month sent out $400, and it covers a whole state for a year, because they've got tablets now in the prisons. And all they're getting is Rock of Ages preaching. They're getting sound preaching. And there was over 170 conversions in the first quarter of the year. I thought that's a good investment. Amen. They get to hear. There's 60-some hundred subscriptions. There's about 70,000 that could get it if they wanted to get it on their tablet. Amen. And I believe the word will get out. And, you know, indirectly, when we tithe, that we're doing that. And when we just support the things of God. But here's a man that was directly involved. And he was directly involved in bringing his brother to Jesus. And I want to give you some things here that I think will help us. It spoke to my heart. Number one, why did he want to bring his brother to Jesus? Number one, because he had spent time with Jesus. Listen to me. God is speaking to my own heart right here. I don't believe that I spend enough time with Jesus. I believe I could spend more time with Jesus. Amen. You say, Pastor, where did you get that? The Bible said here, he saith unto them, come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day. Brother Chris, could you imagine sitting down with Jesus for one day? Are y'all listening to me? Could you imagine? I believe, Brother Michael, we know something about his heart after we sat down with him for one day. We'd know something about his purpose after we sat down with him for one day. I don't believe you could sit down with Jesus for a day and spend a day with him and get up the same as you were when you sit down. Amen. You know, that's the way really that our devotions ought to be. That ought to be the way we're approaching it. Lord, change me. Amen. Make me more like your son. Amen. It's not just about me meeting with you, but it's about you meeting with me and you helping me and you changing me. So he brought his brother to Jesus because he had spent time with him. And then the second reason I believe he brought his brother to Jesus is because the Bible said in verse number 40, one of the two which heard John speak. They heard John speak. Well, let me tell you what John was speaking about. Speaking about him. John was speaking about Jesus. John was not speaking about John. John was speaking about Jesus. Amen. And so the first reason he had spent time with him, and then he had heard someone speak about him, the Lord Jesus Christ. You all have heard the saying, it's all about him. Amen. Amen. Now look at some of the things that John said about Jesus in verse number 15, chapter number 1. The Bible said, John bare witness of him, and he cried, saying, this is he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. What was he talking about? What was he speaking about? He was speaking about God's Son. You go over to verse number 5, and they asked him and said unto him, why baptizest thou then, if that thou be not the Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? John answered, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you, whom you know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoe latchet I'm not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and he saith, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And the Bible said, here, this is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore I came baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending upon from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him, and I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Amen. So far, they had spent time with Jesus. That's what Andrew had done. He had spent time with Jesus. And then Andrew heard someone speaking about Jesus. How many of you, it brings comfort to your heart and encouragement to your heart when you meet a stranger, amen, a stranger in the hospital, a stranger on the street, and they're not ashamed to talk about him? It's encouraging, amen. It doesn't happen enough. It needs to happen more, amen. And I praise God for that. The Bible said here in verse number 40, one of the two which heard John speak. He heard. Not only did he speak of God's Son, but look at verse 16 and 17. He spoke of God's grace. And the Bible said, of his fullness have we all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. You need to remember where we are right here, beloved. We've just come out of the Old Testament. Amen. There was not much preaching about the grace of God. Amen. It was do. Grace of God come along and said, done. It's done at Calvary. Amen. It's not dependent on what you and I do, but what Jesus did for us when the Lamb of God gave his life. The Bible said here, he's talking about God's grace. And then if you look in verse 23, not only is John talking about God's Son and talking about God's grace, but he's talking about God's Word. The Bible said here in verse 23, he said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the prophet, or the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. Now they could relate to that, Brother Chris, because they knew that Old Testament. Amen. And John is telling them, he's here. Amen. Isaiah said he's coming. Guess what? He's here. Amen. And his name is Jesus. So there was here in this scripture, he had spent time with him. That's why he wanted to bring his brother. He had heard John speak about him. That's why he wanted to bring his brother. And then the Word of God said and followed him. He followed him. Let me tell you something right now. Let me give you something. Listen, I'm not going to be mean about it, but the Bible, Jesus said this. He said, follow me. Does anybody know the rest? And I will make you to become fishers of men. Now, I'm not going to say this. I'm going to repeat it after another preacher. Here's what a preacher said years ago, early in my Christian life. He said, if we're not fishing, are we following? That's just a question, amen. If we're not fishing, are we following? The Word of God said right here, and they followed him. And he that followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. I don't believe Andrew had a course in soul winning. I don't believe, beloved, that he really even understood the grace of God at this time. He didn't understand the doctrines of the Word of God, but he had spent some time with Jesus, and he knew something that the world didn't know, that Jesus is the Messiah. Amen. And he wanted to bring his brother because he had spent time with Jesus. He heard John speak about Jesus, and he followed Jesus. Amen. I went the other day to visit with Sister Marge in her new place up at the Blake. And I tell you, what a joy it is to know that you can follow Jesus and somebody 80 years old can say yes to the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Amen. We can rest that Brother Jim Cable's at rest with Jesus because he said yes to the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. So here's Andrew. He's not involved indirectly in Peter. And by the way, what would we be missing in the Bible without Peter? Well, I mean, how much preaching would we be missing? How much Bible would we be missing if Andrew doesn't go get his brother, Peter? I'm going to tell you something, beloved. Listen, every one of us tonight, I want God to challenge our heart. And understand, listen, that God is no respecter of persons. Michael, if God can use Andrew and he brought him to Jesus, he can use you to bring somebody to Jesus. He can use every one of us to bring. Thank you, Brother Michael, for nodding your head up and down. You know, I know you're with me. Amen. He can use us. He can use our children. He can use our grandchildren to bring others to Jesus. Amen. And so, first of all, he spent time with him. Second of all, he heard John speak about him. And thirdly, he followed him. But then, number four, the Bible said in verse number 41, he first findeth his own brother, Simon. How many's ever heard somebody say this? One of the hardest people in the world to talk to about Jesus is your own family. How many's ever heard somebody say that? And I guess there's a lot of truth in that. But you know what? I think sometimes, now listen, I'm not trying to be mean, but sometimes maybe we just ain't living as close as we ought to be living. Yeah. And the family knows that. Somebody say amen. Amen. You understand where I'm coming from? Evidently, Andrew didn't believe that. Evidently, Andrew didn't believe that. Well, the hardest people in the world to win is your own family. He said, I got a brother. And anybody that knew Simon knew he needed Jesus. Say amen. And the Word of God is teaching us here. He said, first findeth his own brother, Simon, and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah. You say, Pastor, what did you get from that? He believed on him. Amen. Listen, there was no question mark in Andrew's life. He said, we have found the Messiah. Amen. Hey, we didn't find one of the doors. We found the door. We didn't find a cup of water. We found the water of life. We found the resurrection and the life. We found the bread of life. We found the one that can forgive us of our sin. Amen. That's what he's saying tonight. So he believed on the Lord. And then the Word of God said in verse 42, and he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, Jesus looked on him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. The Bible doesn't say that Andrew said, this is my brother Simon. We don't know, but I do know this. Jesus knew Simon's name before the world was ever spoken into existence. He knew Judas's name before the world was ever spoken into existence. He knew your name. He knew my grandchildren. I got some pictures today I got to look at of Renly, my great-grandbaby, Aubrey's baby. I'm telling you, she's gorgeous. Ain't no wonder, amen, with a mamma like she's got, how could she be anything but gorgeous, amen. Amen. But let me tell you something, beloved. I can't wait to see them young and saved. Amen. I hope God will let me live to see them saved. Watch what the Bible said. He brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation, the stone. Here's why he brought him to Jesus. Number one, he had spent time with Jesus. Number two, he heard John speak about Jesus. Number three, he followed Jesus. Number four, he believed on Jesus. But number five, and listen, this is no less than any of the rest of them. He knew his brother needed Jesus. This family, I texted Tyler today. I said, Tyler, I missed you. And he and his wife are not feeling well today. But this family, I never do this. But when I found out they weren't saved, this is how I opened with them. They had been to one service here in the church. I'd knocked on their door 3 times. This is how I opened with them. I said, youngins, y'all have a beautiful family. They have got 4 absolutely beautiful children. I found out today the 8-year-old has a type 1 diabetes and has had ever since she was 15 months old. Amen. But they have a beautiful family. And here's how I opened with them. I said, youngins, you have a beautiful family. I said, I don't know why I'm saying this, but right off the bat, I said, it'd be better. The youngin's never been born than to leave this world without Jesus. You know what I knew? I knew that mom and dad needed Jesus. And I knew that without mom and dad having Jesus, Brother Mike, there wasn't much chance of them youngins having Jesus. And now I believe God's going to let me see them youngins saved. Mom and dad said yes. They knelt on a garage floor and said yes to the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. I'm just telling you, beloved, listen. This is not just for preachers. If you're a child of God, you can be. The Bible doesn't say Andrew was a preacher or anything else. He was just one that spent time with Jesus. He was one that followed Jesus. He was one that believed on the Lord Jesus. And he was one that brought his brother to Jesus. I tell you, I believe it would change our churches if people realized, you know what? God, I ain't much. But with your help, would you help me bring somebody to Jesus? Amen? How many believe we could do that with your help? But listen, if we don't spend time with him, it probably ain't going to happen. If we don't follow him, it ain't going to happen. If we don't really believe in our heart that God can use human instruments. Mike, there's somebody you're praying for that was a truck driver with you, ain't they? And there's no doubt that God put that burden in your heart. Amen. And I believe with all of my heart that, listen, we ought to be a happy people. But what about people like the Apostle Paul? That said, I could wish myself accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. He said, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. You know where that come from? That come from out yonder in the desert, spending time with Jesus. Amen. That come from really understanding how much Israel needed Jesus. Amen. How much the Jewish people needed Jesus. How many's got unsaved loved ones? I'm not talking about you judging them, but they'll tell you, I don't know the Lord. Amen. And as far as I'm concerned, half the battle's won when somebody understands that, listen, that they're not saved. But I'm going to tell you, you can be the human instrument. I've been giving out those little cards for years, and I would say it's about 50-50, Brother Chris, when I get the card out and I ask somebody, do you know Christ as your Savior? It's probably about 50-50. But when they tell me that I do know. I ask this question. Do you know someone that don't? Oh, yeah. Do you know someone that don't know the Lord? Oh, yeah. I said, well, here's what I want you to do. I'm doing 2 things, really. Because a lot of people say they're saved and they really don't understand what scriptural salvation is all about. But I'll ask them to watch the video. That 15-minute gospel presentation got 39 verses of scripture in it in 15 minutes. That's actually 16 minutes and 20 seconds, but for a Baptist preacher to be aiming for 15 minutes, that's pretty good if I do say so myself. Amen. And then I asked them to do this. I said, once you get to that video, you can share that link with anybody in the world. Email, a text message. And I'm asking God's people to do this. Just text that individual and say, listen, Jesus changed my life. I'm going to heaven when I leave this world. I want you to go with me. Would you watch this? What's wrong with that? Did you know that God could use a human instrument? How many of you can remember a human instrument that was used in your life to point you to Jesus? Say amen. Was it your daddy, Brother Mike? Without a doubt, amen. Brother Coy, that praying preacher, that man of God, amen. And so, don't you think that Paul said, I'm a debtor. Don't you think we owe it to him? Amen. The lost world around us, we owe it to him. Let's ask God to help us to be that human. We can't save anybody. I don't believe in that salesmanship, high pressure junk. Amen. I don't believe in that at all. But I believe you can just kindly, lovingly share with others what Jesus has done for you. And beloved, it can make a difference. When you say, well, it might be like water on a duck's back. That's what you think while they're standing there. But what you don't know is what happens when the lights go out and the radio's off and the TV's off. And they have to lay there at night and the Holy Ghost begins to bring those scriptures back. And they begin to think something like this. That old boy's got something I need. He got something I don't know nothing about. I can remember my grandmother, Brother Dale, shouting in meetings like this. And honey, I'm telling you, the hair stand up on the back of my neck. I knew she had something I didn't know nothing about. Amen. Amen. Years later, I found out it wasn't something. It was someone. His name is Jesus. How many's glad you come tonight? The Lord just wanted to challenge our hearts tonight to know that we're humans and we're frail. But I tell you what, in the hands of an almighty God, God can use every one of us. He can use us, Brother Billy. And I don't know about you, just hearing your testimony, I believe I know. It amazes me that the likes of him can use the likes of us to do anything for his glory. Amen. How many's glad you come tonight? Let's stand together. Amen. Appreciate you being here.